The Lord is risen, alleluia. He has conquered the tomb, alleluia. See, I've got you all mixed up now. I should have kept it either just alleluia or the whole thing. Now we got half the congregation saying alleluia, half the congregation saying the whole thing, so we'll just say alleluia from here on out. Keep it simple. The Lord is risen, alleluia. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Today, as we encounter the living word, we can put our own names into this question. I often do so when meditating upon this scene from the 21st and final chapter of John's gospel. Sometimes I pray this, Mark, son of Mario, do you love me more than these? We're standing on the shore of Galilee, and it's just a few days after the resurrection. This is Jesus' third appearance to his disciples. What does Jesus mean when he says, do you love me more than these? What does the word these refer to? One way to look at it is that the word these refers to the love of the other disciples. As the first of the apostles, Peter, in this understanding, is being summoned by Christ to love him even more than the others do. Peter himself had previously declared that he would be faithful to Jesus above the rest. He said in Matthew's gospel, even if they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Yet Peter would fall away and deny Jesus in his greatest hour of need. Another way to understand, do you love me more than these, is to understand the word these as meaning these things. Meaning the nets, the boat, the fishing, the familiar life of Galilee, meaning the entire world that was Peter's daily existence before meeting Christ. In this sense, Jesus is not asking Peter to compare his love to the other disciples. Instead, he's talking about all these things in life. He's asking Peter to fully let go of the world he is accustomed to. Yes, Jesus did tell the disciples to go to Galilee when he was risen, but we can wonder if in that place there was a kind of familiarity or comfortability that Peter found in fishing, in that old life that he wanted to return to and maybe stay in. Was there an unresolved sadness in his heart from denying his friend three times? Going back to that former way of life seemed to soothe that wound a little bit. What could get Simon Peter past the attachment to these things so that he could take on his mission as being the rock of the church, even to the point of giving his life, which he would do? It is the mercy of Christ that accomplishes Peter's renewal. Christ simply asks Peter about his love. Do you love me? Do you love me? Can we all here just kind of sense the utter simplicity of that question in Jesus' words? Because how often do our hearts want to ask that same exact question of someone? Yet, oftentimes, we don't dare ask the question for fear that the answer might be disappointing. But Jesus simply just puts it out there. Simon, do you love me? Each time Peter professes his love, Jesus has mercy upon him and entrusts him with his mission. Feed my lambs. Tend to my sheep. Feed my sheep. Jesus desires his flock, his church, his people to be fed and protected. Jesus invests Simon Peter with a great authority over the flock that stems from a great love. Yes, Peter does love Christ more than these things. Our love for Christ is a daily choice. There is no autopilot setting in our relationship with Christ. Following Christ does not have a cruise control button. There are times in each of our lives when we want to backtrack into loving these things more than the Lord. We can be tempted to retreat into what is familiar, comfortable, habitual. Even when those things that we go back to, even when they seem to make us happy again for a time, if they are not Christ's will for us, our nets will come up empty time after time. It is only by Jesus' command that anything we set our hands to will be successful. It's only through his plan that our nets will neither be empty nor will they break. So what are these things in our lives? When do we pull back from living totally for Jesus? Do we hear the Lord asking us for a renewed love, calling us to a deeper love? Do we hear him calling us, beckoning us to take up our mission? And how can we keep each other close to the Master by reminding each other, like John, when he told Peter, "It is the Lord. That's the Lord. That's him. Here he is." How can we do that for one another, to remind each other how the Lord is summoning us? In the St. Paul Seminary, in St. Mary's Chapel, there's a painting of today's gospel scene. Bansal Lafarge painted it in 1934, shortly before his death. As you look at it in the apse, you see the seven disciples surrounding the risen Jesus, and Jesus is standing almost on top of the charcoal fire. He's gesturing to Peter with his hands out, his crucified, pierced hands. A few fish lay on the beach, but there's no bread to be seen anywhere, interestingly. But the meaning isn't too hard to grasp. Jesus Christ himself is the bread. He is Peter's food. He is the food for the flock. Jesus says to each of us tonight, "Do you love me more than these?" May this Eucharistic bread, given through the care of shepherds all around the world today, feed each of us. May it make us bread for others. May it enable us to say, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you."